All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, March 11th, 2019. What's going on? How are you? Oh, how you doing? I'm in a great mood, despite the fact that I missed that fucking, the first MotoGP race of the year. I found out DirecTV doesn't have it on fucking television anymore out here, which was very disappointing to me. You know, I couldn't find it. I was scampering. I woke up in a sweat going, wait a minute. Does F1 start today? I know something starts today. Huh? Huh? Am I going to miss it? Right? Freaking out. OCD. Fucking 20 goddamn races. God forbid you miss one. So I look up F1. That doesn't start till next week down in Australia. Okay. I already have that recorded. That's easy because that got picked up by ESPN. So I'm like, all right, where the fuck's the MotoGP? I have DirecTV, all right? I'm not trying to talk down to all you people. That's right. I can still afford to pay for cable. That's how fucking hard I am crushing it out here in these streets. All you fucking cord cutters, huh? Just backing yourself into a fucking entertainment corner, just sitting there, huh? With your apps and your little Netflix fucking subscription. That's your world, huh? What are you going to do? Watch every episode of Narcos and then some stupid documentary to try and impress your friends. You need those 700 fucking channels that they have, 300 of which are radio stations. What are you walking away from, millennials? Huh? What are you afraid of? They're all proud of it too, because when I couldn't find it on DirecTV, I went on to the Twitter, and very nicely, dare I say, eloquently, I just put out to the Twitter sphere. I said, hey, does anybody know what channel the MotoGP is on DirecTV? And oh, did the cunts come out of the woodwork? Jesus Christ, you would have thought I put a fucking piece of cheese down in a bun. All the fucking little rats that came running out, right? Do rats even eat cheese? Don't they kind of eat anything? You know what I mean? Like, if you just put, like, a severed finger in a mousetrap, wouldn't a fucking rat eventually come up and try and eat the fucking thing? I mean, they don't give a shit, right? They're like that relative that always shows up to the event, never brings anything, and just hovers, right? Hovers around the fucking table, doesn't use that fucking spoon, you know, to scoop it out. He's just reaching in with his fucking mitts. That's what rats are, right? That's a rat, and so's your uncle. Anyways, plowing ahead. So I put it out there nicely. Okay, I like to feel like, you know, being a man in my 50s now, that I am refined. I am a man of the world. All right? I drive a four-door sedan. I still pay for cable. Okay? So I'm like this close to buying a pair of loafers. Do you understand it? Like that is like how established I am as an adult. So I put it out there nicely. Does anybody know what channel the MotoGP race is on? On DirecTV. Oh, these fucking cunts come out of the woodwork. First of all, you know, channel 69. Huh? You get it? Huh? Are you going to try that? Uh-huh. Right? Then they start doing this one burst. Then they start speaking in Twitter speak. I didn't know that DirecTV was still a thing. Oh, wow, man. You're like so cool the way you get your entertainment. Jesus Christ, you would have thought I showed up with a fucking, I don't know, the wrong pair of sneakers on it when I was like in fifth grade. The fact that I actually suggested I had no idea there was so much shame in still having DirecTV. I pay like $200 a month for cable. I swear to God. What do you think? I went from one fucking podcast a week to two. I got to pay for my DirecTV. I do. You know, somebody told me one time, he goes, dude, you're paying way too much money. Just have me come over there and I'll yell at him. I'll cut it in half because all these fucking people are cord cutting and shit. You can, you know, I have all the sports packages. Oh, yeah, I'm talking shit here, people. Okay? I pay for DirecTV. I have all four sports packages. All right? And I miss most of the games. Okay? You want to talk about taking hundreds and just throwing them into a fire, or lighting a cigar? That's how I'm rolling. Anyway, so it turns out that DirecTV no longer carries MotoGP, which in my world is the best fucking racing out there as far as if you want to see excitement, if you want passing. Okay, you fucking NASCAR guys down there, huh? With your fucking still that also doubles as a smoker during the tailgate. You want to get drunk, you stand on this side. If you want some buffalo butt, you get on that side, right? You guys want to see fucking excitement. If you want to see passing and that type of shit, you want to see a wreck, watch a fucking guy high side on a motorcycle going like fucking 200 miles an hour. Like once every three races, there's just something that would make Evel Knievel be like, Jesus fucking Christ, how is that guy still alive? At which point you say it's called an airbag, Evel. You know, they watched your little jump there at fucking Caesars. Who am I talking? Evel Knievel would laugh at that bullshit. Their little light bikes and their fucking airbags. You know? He went out there wearing a fucking pair of leather underoos and got on a fucking chopper you could fucking buy down at the local store. That fucking bike weighed more than my goddamn head. Anyway. You want to watch this MotoGP. So I fucking ended up going online. Everybody's like, why don't you watch it on Reddit for free or whatever? So I didn't. I go to MotoGP, their website. I sign up for this season, $139, right? More money. Just flying out the window, right? So I signed up for it, and then I'm such an old guy, I couldn't figure out where to watch it. And I finally figured it out after the race was over. You got to click on, there's like four lines on the side, and one of them says live. And when you click on that, that's the fucking race. And by the time I figured that out, you know, it's counting down like fucking, you know, 9,000 hours until the next goddamn race. So I missed it. And like all MotoGP races, it sounded like it was exciting as hell. And it came right down to the end. And Dovizioso beat Marquez like he did last year by like the length of his bike. And I don't know. I'm hoping if anybody, you know, watches it on MotoGP site, if they replay it, I can't even find a fucking highlight of it. But anyways, so all you rednecks down there who like your stock car racing, just it's 20 something laps. It'll go by in 2 seconds. And I know it's a bunch of foreigners out there on their little moto scooters. I ain't nobody named Kale or Harry or Dale, you know? There's a Mark. That's kind of an, you know, Andres Dovizioso. Jorge Lorenzo. Close the fucking border. I'd like to build a wall around that fucking racetrack is what the fuck I'd like to do. Jump over that. Motherfucker. So anyways, I might seem a little like my energy is a little higher, a little more giddy. It's because I ain't doing shit. I got a special in the can, man. And I'm just, I haven't done stand-up since I said goodnight on the second show. And tonight I'm actually going down to the comedy store there. It's closed to the public. It's just for comics only. And it's the memorial for Brody Stevens, which I think is going to be, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be sad, but I really think it's like he's such an uplifting guy. And there was so much to learn from him that I am really looking forward to.
to going down there and celebrating that guy's life and the work that he did down at the Comedy Store. One of the legends. There's a place out front where they put all the names of the people that really built that place and kept it going. I hope they move his name up there. That's what I'm going to suggest. All I did, I took my daughter down to the park. You know, we went on the fucking, all the rides and all of that stuff. Just had like the best time hanging out with her. And we watched the Bruins. We watched the Celtics. I watched the Bruins. I watched three Bruins games this fucking weekend. The Panthers, Ottawa, which both ended great. And then Pittsburgh. I had a feeling they were going to get us. I mean, we literally won like 18 or 19 in a row. Undefeated. You know, we were like 15-0-4, I think. So at some point, someone was going to have to stop us. And the Penguins always play us tough. And as much as it sucked that the streak ended, it was our longest point streak since, I guess, the early 40s. But I got to tell you something. Sidney Crosby's pass in the second period. Did anybody see that? Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one of those things you watch. It's just like, what do we need robots for? Like, that's like the kind of thing like a robot, you know, skating that fast, trying to get around a defenseman. And then he has another guy streaking down on the outside of another defenseman. And then you got the goalie who could poke check the pass away. He put it the only place where it could fucking be, like a Tom Brady fucking pass to the corner of the end zone. Right on the tape, bang, bang, in the back of the fucking net. It was just one of those, it's one of those things, even though the other team did it, you can't even get mad. You're just like, Jesus Christ, that was fucking, that was a thing of beauty. So I don't have another fucking gig other than one quick benefit in New York that I'm doing on April 2nd. Garden of Dreams at MSG in the theater where Eddie Murphy did Raw. I always think about that when I go down and do a show there, that this is where he did that special. And I saw him on that tour at what used to be called Greatwoods in Mansfield, Massachusetts, with the Weather Girls opening up. I, for the life of me, cannot find any record of that date when it happened. I think I finally found it. When do you fucking millennial nerds find that? All right. It was like 85 or 1986. Greatwoods had just opened, Mansfield, Massachusetts. And that summer I saw Rodney Dangerfield. And this was post Back to School. He was, that movie hit, and he was on this huge tour. And then I saw him, and then that a couple weeks later, I saw Eddie Murphy. And I remember that really was something that stuck with me. I was like 18 years old. And I remember when I went to see Dangerfield, watching him and just looking around at the crowd. And it didn't dawn on me that it was an all white crowd, because I'm white. I was just like, this is what the world looks like to me at that point in my life, you know, living in the safe suburbs of Boston, Massachusetts. It was just a bunch of white people. So it didn't really dawn on me that was an all white crowd. And I remember looking around thinking, wow, man, this guy's making everybody laugh. He's killing. This is amazing. Right. And then a couple weeks later, I saw Eddie Murphy and the crowd was mixed. And I remember that stuck with me. I was like, this guy's making everybody laugh. I had lawn seats for that. I had seats for Dangerfield. So I actually saw him, and, it kills me that I didn't try and pony up some more money back then, but I didn't have any money to not sit in a fucking field. I mean, I didn't really technically see him. I was just watching him on the monitors, but he was wearing that purple, mariachi suit that he wore. Fuck am I talking about here? How the hell did I get onto that? I don't know. And I watched the Celtics versus the Lakers. And at the risk of sounding like an old man, just I fucking hate NBA hoop now. You know, it's just, Jesus, fuck, up and down the fucking court. Everybody launching a three. There's nobody underneath. You know, the other team's on a 10-0 run. Yeah, just keep launching threes. There's no feeding the big man down low anymore. Nobody can stand in the fucking paint. you know, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the Celtics. I haven't watched too much, but I watched a bunch the last couple of years. And I can tell you this, when we had fucking Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk and everybody was fucking listening to Brad Stevens, we were a tougher team to beat. We didn't have the level of talent, but we were a tougher team to beat. And this whole fucking new era. And you hear the announcers just like, you know, they condone the behavior that people get so good that they don't have to listen to the coach anymore. And I'm not just picking on the Celtics. Like, that's like around the fucking league. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, he's going to have to get his touches. Fuck his touches. They're going out here to win the fucking game. Drives me crazy. Like, we have this unbelievable chance right now. With the talent that we have, we should be able to, at the very least, scare the Golden State Warriors. I know we beat them the other day in regular season, but that doesn't mean shit. It's one game regular season. Like, those guys are the fucking champs. They're in the middle of a fucking dynasty, and they're going to have an entirely different energy when you meet them in the finals. All right? As opposed to fucking one game out of 80 or whatever that you happen to catch them on a fucking Wednesday night and you beat them. We have this great opportunity to win another one while the Lakers are fucking rebuilding. And I love how everybody's like in panic mode. Like, Magic Johnson and those guys are doing exactly what the fuck they said they were going to do. We brought in LeBron. Okay. This is a 2-year plan. Like, the fan base is, they're so fucking impatient now. Like, a 2-year plan is taking too long. So it's literally, you bring in fucking LeBron the first year, and then he's going to attract all of this free agent help. And then they're all going to go out there and pile on because everyone wants to be part of the Lakers' fucking, you know, great history, and they want to fuck models and famous women. You know, that's the fucking thing that they have over the Celtics. They got the weather and they got the pussy. We just can't fucking compete. You know, you want to go racist city to racist city. We're right there. Oh, we got you eyeball to eyeball. You want to go championships? We got two more than they do, unless you count that BAA one that they count. But they have the weather and they have the pussy. And that right fucking there. You know what I mean? The fuck are you going to do with that? How do you beat that? Location, location, location. How many titles do you think that the fucking Lakers would have had if they stayed in Minneapolis? Okay, and they had the exact same ownership.
I'm asking you.
Can they still attract the level of talent that they attracted being out there in Hollywood? Now all of a sudden, you're in the frozen tundra of Minneapolis, Minnesota, right? You got fucking farm-fed chicks wearing their overalls coming in from Duluth, right? You got some hayseeds making the trek in from fucking the Dakotas. I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't think there's enough pussy, and you don't have the fucking weather. Weather and pussy have caused more goddamn athletes to make stupid fucking moves, to jump out of the NFL and join the fucking World Football League. Well, money too. Money, weather, and pussy. The trifecta. So, I don't know. I'm just hoping people listen to Brad Stevens. Just listen to what the fuck this guy says. Play like a goddamn team. Fuck your own stats. And just go out there and get it done. And let's fucking win another one before the Lakers are coming. Because the Lakers are coming. They're always coming. Okay, it's almost like a rule. They can only suck for like 5 fucking years before they're going to re- And you know they're going to- Their whole fucking history is free agents. Free agents. Right down to Kobe Bryant, who was a fucking Charlotte Hornet. And what kills me, you know, look at that Antonio Brown. Like, yeah, you're going to the Bills. Yeah, I'm not playing for them. Well, then get the fuck out of the league. Like, I don't understand. The Bills just made a move to get one of the top receivers in the league, but he doesn't like where the fuck they are, so he's not going to fucking go. I mean, that I don't know. What happened to parity in the fucking league? I'm all for, like, players not getting fucked over by ownership, but they're at the point now where they have too much power. You know, kind of like where the unions were when I was a kid, which caused all these fucking corporations to be like, all right, well, we're just going to move the corporation out of this fucking country and go back to sweatshop labor. You know? And I don't mind unions. I'm not saying don't have a fucking union, but who's kidding? No, you know, most people don't handle power well, right? And they became too greedy, too cunty, too much leaning on the mob. And then the fucking rich guys were like, yeah, we're fucking out of here. Now, I got to tell you something. All of what I've just said here, I don't think I've ever really read on it. This is all me just pasting together conversations I've heard throughout my life. Okay? Now, like I've said before, if you want clear and accurate information, you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. By the way, I have to give that guy a shout out, right? As far as like what that guy has done with his podcast. Have you been looking at the fucking guests that guy's getting? He's getting like Elon Musk and then Dr. Phil and then David Lee Roth and then like some scientist that I've never even heard of who then blows my mind about like some sort of like, I don't know, some scientific shit. I'm too stupid to understand it. But like that guy is like, I don't know. I don't know where this podcasting world goes. But like at this point, if you're a guest on his show, you get more heat than if you do like a fucking legendary talk show. It's unbelievable what that guy has done. I was just thinking the other day, what the fuck guest did I see? I think, was it David Lee Roth? I think it was just the variety of guests. Getting Dr. Phil, that's fucking huge. I mean, that is like a big mainstream old school guest. I'm going to go do the talk show circuit. I'm going to fucking go do terrestrial radio and all that. You get that fucking guy. I mean, I thought that was a big, you know, I don't know. That's a big moment. That's right up there. You know, when Marin had Obama on, I think when they look back at like, where did these podcasts come from? And what were some of the watershed moments? Like, I would say, I don't know. Stamps.com starting to advertise, and then it goes Obama on Mark Maron's, and then it's Joe Rogan's numbers and his wide variety of, I mean, he had like Elon Musk on his show. The guy took a hit of a joint and it affected his stock prices. That's fucking amazing. Anyways, but meanwhile, here I sit in my fucking sweatpants talking to myself. Stubborn German Irish guy. Just going to do it this way. I don't want to talk to people, man. No, I'm fucking with you. I, if you've noticed when I do interviews, a lot of times I'm too busy thinking about what the fuck I want to say, or somebody says something and I drift off. And then it becomes like that Chris Farley thing where I'm just fucking grabbing the side of my pants going, remember when you did this? That was awesome. All right. So, old Billy Nobu's bag. Okay. 107 fucking days. And I went to the gym yesterday, and for the first time in like 3 years, I did a dip testing out my shoulders. Fortunately, where I go to the gym, they have like this, the dip machine. You can actually remove the dip bar and adjust it to your height. So I have it just way down near the floor, where my arms are actually straight when I'm holding on to it. And then I just sort of went up on my toes, you know, supported my weight with my arms and went up on my toes like Michael Jackson, you know? And, you know, minus that documentary or whatever the fuck is going on with that. And I was just lowering myself down. And every time I felt a little bit stronger. And then yesterday I was like, I don't know, I think I can do one. I did one, felt all right. And then I kind of did three in a row. And I was just like, why did I just do that? Because I'm finding with the rotator cuff, rotator cuff? Rotator cuff. Jesus Christ, Amy, I've had this injury for 3 fucking years and I don't, it's one of the, you know, I just have these words that I don't really know how to say, so I just say them fast. So so people don't notice. Rotator cuff. Yeah. Oh, and at first I used to think, is it rotator cup or rotator cuff? I don't know what the fuck it is. If you're still listening, God bless you. That's all I can say. So anyways, I was able to do that. And then they have one of those pull-up machines that you can, you know, be on your knees with like the weight and all that stuff. So I did like two or three of those. And now it's fucking hilarious because I'm kind of feeling a weird feeling in my other shoulder because I think this one got worn out because of the other one. And I'm just going to go get an MRI on both of my shoulders, figure out what the fuck's going on. And then I might do what Rogan's been telling me to do is go fucking check out this guy that does the stem cell thing. And they just shoot it in there. And all of a sudden you're like a fucking X-Man. I think I might do that, you know? I think I deserve that. I didn't get the hair plugs, right? I'm not doing Botox. I'm aging naturally, you know? I don't think there's anything wrong with rebuilding the engine in my fucking shoulders. Oh, geez, my kid's screaming down there. But anyways, I haven't been drinking. I haven't really been smoking. And I don't know. I'm actually calling a fucking therapist today to find, because I've been saying on stage, I've been working on my anger, but I've been kind of doing it on my own, and I'm finally going to get some help here. And I've been doing this joke in my act saying, like, you know, if I just didn't have a temper, like, as far as, like, you know, your wife's always, you know, trying to, we'll say it in a nice way, is always trying to help you become a better person. Like, I think if I got rid of my temper, she would be out of suggestions, you know? Because other than my temper, I mean, I'm fucking crushing it. Do you understand that, guys? Do you understand that I am a man that can still afford to pay for DirecTV? 900 channels, 350 of which are radio stations. I don't even listen to those. You know? I'll pay for that DirecTV subscription, and then I'll order a UFC fight and a sports package. I don't give a fuck. I'll fucking stare right at a $300 bill. Pay it. Just like that. I'm sorry I'm doing this. I just was so shamed for still paying for fucking cable. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm not fucking doing this shit where I got everything's like, I like it all right there on my fucking TV. I watch this on my laptop. I watch this on my phone. I got this thing on my fucking pad. Bill, they're all the same technology. You can watch them anywhere. I don't want to figure it out. You used to just fucking turn it on. That was it. Three fucking channels. Boo, boo, doo, 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 doo. All right, you knew all the fucking songs. Making the way in your world today. Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take her hairy muff and warm some cock up there in Minneapolis while the fucking Lakers have left now? The only show left in town is Mary Tyler Moore's fucking warm pussy. Sorry. All right, let's read some advertising. All right. Oh, look who's back, everybody. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Old Zip. Recruiter! You know, hiring is a challenge. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple. Sometimes you want to go where hiring people is fucking simple. Boom, 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 boom. And it's fucking fast and smart. Boom, boom, boom. You want to keep on fucking boozing without anybody giving you shit. You want to hang with more alcoholics. Yep. Sorry. A place where growing businesses connected to qualified candidates. That place is zip.com/burr. Zip sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, Zip scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, Zip
Recruiter, man,
analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality. That was my nod to motorcycle racing. Get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. Spell it out, Z-I-P. R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R.com/Burr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, look, I talked about them earlier, and here they are. Stamps.com, everybody. Sliding in like Kramer on Seinfeld. No one really has time to go to the post office. You're busy. You're busy looking at all, watching your apps, you know? Check out fucking TV, however you're watching it. Who's got time for all that traffic? Parking, lugging all your mail and packages? Well, let's get lugging mail. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many fucking envelopes do you have? It's a pain in the ass. We get it. It's a real hassle, man. That's why you need Stamps.com, one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses. Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office and saves you money with discounts that you can get even at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just hand it over to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. Mail carrier. You got that? You see that? That was unisex. Not mailman, not mailwoman, mail carrier. Person carrier. Why does it say mail? It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. Saving you time and money, it's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost. Oh, wait, I just went right back. Hey, I just was checking the time to see where I was at. Sorry, I'm not losing my mind here. Right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and try and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com, enter Burr, B-U-R-R. Okay, there we go. That was relatively painless, right? You know what I realized halfway through this? I need to let somebody know that I'm not going to be able to get to where the fuck I'm supposed to be. But anyways, we plow forward here. Okay. Creepy Lennon mannequin. All right. A couple weeks ago, I was in Liverpool, and I went down to this. It says right here, Magical Beatles Museum. Okay. I was making fun of that fucking John Lennon statue, who, if you missed the episode, it's literally one of the first fucking things you see. And it's like the white suit, like, oh, fuck, is that the white suit? Why would that be out here in the open where anybody could just take it? You walk up, you realize it isn't the white suit. You realize it doesn't look like fucking John Lennon at all. It's got this awful beard, like, taped to the thing's face. I mean, it just looks like a ripoff. I mean, they might as well have had a fucking two-headed goat standing out there or something. So I made fun of it. So anyways, it says, hi, Bill. I work at the Magical Beatles Museum and, parentheses, I, like most of the staff, agree with you. The mannequin should be thrown in the River Mercy. Okay. The guys from Cheap Trick found it weird as well. All right. So that's a major fucking band with, I believe that band's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they are looking at it like, dude, what the fuck? It's unfortunate you and your pal decided not to come in, as the mannequin certainly does not represent what is inside. The museum is on 3 floors and is filled with 300 and counting genuine Beatles artifacts from 1959 to 1970. See, now this is making me wish I went in there. You got to get rid of that fucking mannequin. These include the medals John Lennon wore on the Sgt. Pepper cover. Wow. George Harrison's Futurama guitar. I don't even know what that is. The spotlights from Abbey Road Studios. Ringo Starr's snare drum. Jesus. Seats from Shea Stadium, and the cello from the Blue Jay Way video, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The owner of the museum, also the guy responsible for the creepy mannequin, is Rogue Aspinali Best. I couldn't tell if that was an affliction or a name. It's a name. Okay, he is the son of Neil Aspinali, Beatles roadie and head of Apple Records. He's also brother of Pete Best, original Beatles drummer, and is a great guy. Next time you're in Liverpool, come in and we'll give you and your pals slash family a free tour. All the best, Bill. Fuck that, dude. I'm going to pay. Although I would ask him, does Pete get upset that he started a fucking museum to the band that fired him? Fired his brother? It's got to be kind of weird, right? I don't know. I'm sure Pete Best is over it at this point, right? Is there any other, you know, that's another thing too, you know, on Twitter. I'm an old man. I'm still on Twitter, right? I'm still on the Twitter. They had this hashtag going around that said, not popular opinions. And people would say, like, you know, I don't know, pick somebody. Like, I don't think Adele has a good voice. You know, stupid shit. Like, nobody said that, by the way. I'm just happy I know how to say her name. I was calling her Adelaide for a long fucking time. But somebody wrote, the Beatles are overrated. That's another one. That's a big one when millennials want to appear edgy. They go, they're overrated. Oh, are they? Oh, okay. Okay, well, maybe if you read up on the history at some fucking point. Ah, jeez, I got a phone call. Hang on a second. All right, here's the thing about that. I understand if the Beatles, you're young and the Beatles music doesn't move you. Because, I mean, it's music from literally 50 fucking years ago at this point. That's the end of their career, too. And the other stuff is coming up on 60 years, okay? So in defense of you guys, I understand that. If you don't like it or it doesn't, but they're not overrated. I mean, they influenced an entire generation of bands to get started. They made the whole fucking thing possible. And because of them, you're listening to the music that you're listening to today. They are an undeniable part of music history. But I would never, you know, be this old guy going like, you know, if you told me that music sucks, I'm not going to argue that. That's just like, I mean, if I fucking grew up now, I would like some of their songs. Even I remember in the 80s, like liking them and my teacher being like, going like, dude, you don't get it. You don't get how fucking huge it was when a Beatles album came out. It's like the fucking world stopped for younger people then. And you bought it and people, oh, dude, I got the new Beatles album. Everybody came over and fucking listened to it. I mean... I wasn't even part of that. So, but as far as like Verzi hates the Beatles. And he's just like, Yellow Submarine, Bill? Yellow Submarine. It's like, dude, everybody's got a bad fucking joke in their act. Come on. Anyways, you know, Verzi, you know, whatever. I get it. It's too much time has passed. I've heard younger comics talk about some big comics that way and not get like what the big deal is. But what happens is the further, like, look at Beethoven. Can you fucking imagine when that shit first came out? Like, it just, you're fucking sitting there. You got a goddamn boil the size of my foot on the side of your fucking head. You're fighting off typhoid, yellow fever, whatever the fuck, goddamn plague. And all of a sudden, this guy just shows up with 100 of his friends, like, yeah, da da da, ba da da da. You're like, dude, what the fuck? You know, and now you're just sitting there eating a Subway sandwich in an elevator, and in the background, it's going, ba da da da, ba da da da. It just doesn't have the same fucking impact. But that it doesn't mean the dude's overrated, does it? I don't fucking know. Anyways. Moving ahead here. Or if you look at what is the Soul, if you watch Soul Train, if you watch some of the people dancing from way fucking back then, there's a lot of them that are, compared to today's standards, I'm not talking about the legendary dances, just people on the dance floor. I just, when I watch, because Nia loves that show and I'll be just watching, I just laugh going like, you know, there's a lot of people on this show that are dancing at a level that awful white people dance at today. Like the bar just keeps getting raised off of the work. So if you go back, the hardest thing to do when you go back in history is to block out what has happened since then and try to put it into historical perspective, which is practically impossible. It's like going back and looking at Johnny Unitas, how he threw for over 40,000 yards in his career. And like the next closest guy had half as much as that. But now, like the way the rules have changed, like a fucking a goddamn backup quarterback will throw for 30,000 in his career. So it doesn't seem like a big deal. So I don't know. I'm just defending the Beatles, that's all. And now I feel bad that I trashed this fucking museum. And I judged it by that goddamn mannequin. I think the whole purpose of all that was me just realizing that I'm a bit of a cunt. He's a bit of a cunt. There he is. He's a bit of a cunt. All right. Cheesing babies. Dear Billy Badge, have you seen these pussies throwing cheese onto their kids' faces? I saw one of them. It's just the fucking desperation for people to get views on the internet to the point. I mean, look, I'm a performer. I have a desperation for it. I get it on some level. But when you start, like, the amount of videos I just see of, like, parents with, like, their kids, right? And they're starting to fall. And they don't do anything. And they just film it so they can laugh. And they just, like, let their kid get hurt. Is, you know, the real ones, like, you can tell it wasn't set up is because right as the kid starts to fall, like that, you see the fucking phone flies out of frame and you actually miss the kid falling down. You can tell the parent lunged and tried to save the person. But, yeah, I don't get it. Anyways, it's like, how much, the person said, how much do you hate yourself that you'd throw cheese on a baby's face? Just imagine what type of memory is sublimely stored where a baby sees a camera and then something hit their face. I'd arrest all these asshole parents and throw fire hose water at their faces. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it does like psychological damage to the baby, if you can even fucking remember it. Like someday it's going to be in Philly and they're like, hey, you want to get a cheesesteak? It's like, hey, cheese! And it fucking starts slamming the sandwich into its face. I don't know that it does that. There is just a thing where when you are, you become a parent, just how like defenseless and helpless your kid is. Look, I'm not advocating being a helicopter parent. I'm not saying that, but there's just something about filming it. Like, cause it's the kid obviously doesn't enjoy it. It obviously startles the kid. And the fact that you're putting your own fucking adult needs ahead of that, I mean, I all of that whole category is giving your kid a stupid fucking name like coat hanger or some dumb Hollywood celebrity fucking name or putting your fucking political agenda, like your kid is going to live your political agenda. I'm raising my kid gender neutral. And then all of a sudden your son has to wear a fucking dress just so you can show off how fucking progressive you are. Rather than asking the kid if he just wants a football instead. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to make that decision. I think all of that stuff is, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. It's not how I would do it. You know? I think you should, if your kid starts to fall, you should try to catch your kid. I think if there's cheese, you should hand it to your child. If your kid wants to eat it, they eat it. If they don't, then you finish it and gain a few more pounds like a dad. Right? I don't know. And I also just like if your kid fucks up and then you put it on the internet, it's just like it exists forever. And kids are already mean. You're literally giving like ammunition. Like somebody showed me this video, this woman, her kid was being a class clown and dancing at school. And she gave him the option. She says, I'm either going to give you the belt or you can dance. So the kid is crying because he's scared and he's sitting there doing this half-assed like dancing while he's crying. And everybody thinks it's funny. It's like, this fucking kid has to go to school. Not to mention, you shouldn't hit a kid with a belt. There's like so many fucking things that are wrong with it. I don't know. So yeah, I don't like, and I think, you know, your instincts that you're that mad that you I can feel the anger that you have towards it. Yeah, like you shouldn't do that. And I imagine with your level of anger, like some shit was done to you, as was done to me. And I think you go one of two ways. You either repeat it slash try to take it to the next level, or you just go back to like, oh, I remember what that felt like. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? But, you know, there's a lot of morons that, you know, you don't have to be smart to know how to fuck. That's the thing. If they just made it like something like if it was as difficult as getting like a degree in something, I think the world would be a better place. But anybody can be like, oh, my dick's standing up. I want to stick it in there. Next thing you know, you have a fucking kid and you're throwing cheese at it and you're filming it. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. We'll see. We'll see what the fallout is. But my kid's not going to be part of that fucking experiment. All right. Premier League soccer. Soccer is in quotes. So I'm imagining this is a fucking somebody who doesn't live in the U.S. Hey, Billy Ballbreaker. I've been listening for a long time and really enjoy your podcast, especially during football season, as I find your analysis is put more in layman's terms for us Brits. Being a fellow Patriot fan, nice, here also gets me shit as most people follow the Seahawks. Well, isn't that interesting? Hey, if you don't mind, write back and let me know, why did they follow the Seahawks? Is it because it's always cloudy over there and they have the same kind of weather in Britain as they do in Seattle? That's really interesting. I've enjoyed your recent ramblings about the Premier League and Liverpool's battle with Manchester this year, so I thought I'd share a few facts you may enjoy and help you understand more. Liverpool were actually the more successful team in history with 18 league titles. Oh, yeah, I heard about this. This is like before the Premier League existed. It's almost like pre-Super Bowl era. They had 18 league titles, 5 European titles, and a bunch of other cups until recently when their biggest rivals, Manchester United, overtook them and have 20 titles, but only 3 European titles. So that's basically the Celtics and Lakers of Premier League football. Given your gripe about the Steelers, I thought you'd be interested to know that all 18 of Liverpool's titles were before the Premier League era, but are still very much counted here, as it should be. Yes, it should. Their Wikipedia page is very interesting, as they have also faced tragedies along with other clubs and still cake out on top. Never heard that expression, that's a typo. Secondly, Man City are only recently a good team, as 10 years ago As 10 years ago, they were about over by Arab. I think they were bought out is what he wanted. Arab billionaires, and have basically paid extraordinary amounts of money for the best players and are still not quite good enough to win all the cups. See, this is what you need to get into it. It's already a beautiful game, but now all I need is the backstory and the drama. So I think that's really interesting that Man City, all of a sudden they have all this money. Which, who gives a fuck? Because, you know, before then, everyone was probably going to Man United or Liverpool if they wanted to win a title. Now, here they come out of nowhere. I like it. It's good. You know, you guys all got money. The Boston Red Sox own the Liverpool. God knows they got fucking more money than God. What about Man United? Do they got a bunch of money with that legacy? I feel like they need to do something soon, or all of a sudden it starts to fade a little bit. Like the Michigan Wolverines. Like, thank God they got, what's his face there? Captain Comeback to save that. And he did, even though he hasn't beaten Ohio State yet, Harbaugh saved that fucking program, because you can only be bad for so long. Where all of us, if you suck for a kid's, in a recruit's entire life, they don't give a shit. That becomes Beetle-era stuff. Like, yeah, whatever. That's yellow submarine football. I don't give a fuck about it. And they're going to end up like Oregon came out of nowhere because all of a sudden they started having these cool uniforms and started winning games. But on a total tangent here. So here we go. Thirdly, going on what you said about the offsides rule and the defending player slowing down, they can do this, but if the attacking player is behind them when the ball is played, they are still onside and can score. Wait, how does that work? The attacking player is behind them when the ball is played. Well, doesn't that mean he ran past them with the ball? He can't go past the last defender without the ball, right? So the attacker must time their run with their other players making the pass, and the defending players must do the same, but also be aware that if they get... Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, if he's, like, parallel to... or is it perpendicular? If he's parallel to the defenseman and somebody kicks the ball past the defenseman, he can take off as the ball's kicked. And then he'll still be onside. I get that. All right, that's a little more... okay, I guess. So it's sort of like a moving blue line, I guess. I really appreciate you taking the time to explain this to me, though. So let me read that again slowly. When the ball is played, that means kicked, I guess, then they are still on the outside and can score. So the... Wait. Where the fuck was... Thirdly, going on what you said about the offsides rule and the defending player slowing down, they can do this, but if the attacking player is behind them when the ball is played, meaning kicked, then they are still onside and can score. So the attacker must time their run with their other player. I like that. There's a finesse to that I have to respect. Making the pass. Oh, do you have to respect it, you fucking arrogant cunt? Yeah, whatever. I'm trying to be nice here. And the defending players must do the same, but also be aware that if they get wrong, they have to chase back and stop the goal. There are also other factors, such as the other player isn't involved in the play. He isn't offside and can stand anywhere. All right. Apologies for the length. No, man, you actually cleared it up a little bit more. I still don't think I 100% understand it, because I don't know how far away you have to be from the play and you can still be onside. Hope you found this interesting, and please do a show in either Belfast or Dublin so I can go. Thanks, and go fuck yourself. I was out in Dublin last June. I haven't been to Belfast in a little bit, but I have to tell you how excited the two tours I've done this year through Europe have been incredible. And I got one more that starts in Iceland at the end of April. And it's just incredible. The people showing up, the venues I get to play to, yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of blown away by that. So I'm looking forward to it. And I still have not been down to Australia. I keep saying, if something always ends up coming up, I got some acting work. I had to push some dates. But after I do my next Europe run, the next one I do, I have to go back to Australia because I haven't been there in a couple of years. All right. And now I just taped the special. So now I got to build the fucking hour back up again. And I can't go over there when it's weak. I got to make sure, you know, because those Aussies fucking people don't screw around, right? So I got to make sure it's where it needs to be. But I will figure all of this out. All right. Binaural Beats. Binaural Beats. Dear Bill, have you heard of Binaural Beats? They are a great alternative to silent meditation and have the same benefits. All you need is a nice pair of headphones and YouTube on your phone. Just wanted to let you know, because I'm also an angry cunt sometimes. I found these and they really help with every negative emotion. There are even a few that apparently help with migraines. Check them out. Thanks for the laughs. Is this a real thing? Is this a thing? Let me see. Here we go. Let me look this up here. Binaural for the people looking it up too. Beats. All right. This is for meditation. This is 3 hours and 15 minutes. Let's listen to a little bit of this. A vegetarian selfie. Well, they eat French fries, don't they? Here we go. Here is some Binaural Beats. Sounds like a horror movie.
No! Get away from me!
All right, you know what? I can get into that. Started off a little scary. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little, Oh, speaking of scary movies, have you seen Jordan Peele's, the trailer for his new movie? That movie looks so scary, I'm almost angry at him. Because I'm going to go see it. I saw that, and Neil's like, oh, my God. And I was like, dude, fuck that movie. Fuck that. I'm going to go see it. But Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I fucking hate scary movies. But I love Jordan, so I'm going to go see that movie. And I also love the last one he did. So, but like this one looks like it's just full on fucking horror, and I don't need that. But you know, I'm going to go see it. All right, boyfriend's family is silent during dinner. We should go see it, me and Nia, and then we'll come on the podcast and talk about it. She'll be like, "Oh my God, I love that! I love being scared, and I'll be fucking pissed that I went through that shit." You know, I told you when I saw the Blair Witch, I had a set at the Laugh Factory, and I went to the movie, like the midnight showing, by myself. And then I walked out into the parking garage by myself to the car, just totally freaked off, like, Josh! I'm not one of those people that can just sit there and be like, this is the movie. I fucking buy in, and it scares the shit out of me. All right, boyfriend's family is silent during dinner. Okay, let's see. What do we do with this one? Dear Bill, I need some advice about a guy I've been seeing who is great, but his family are kind of strange. They are lovely and quite nice, but they are incredibly awkward when together as a family. It's not that they say or do weird things. It's that we basically sit in silence when we're together. When I first met them, Jesus Christ, I feel like I should be playing that meditation music while I fucking as I read this. There's nobody there stirring coffee slowly, are they? Or tea, whatever it was. When I first met them, I thought that they must have just came from a funeral because we went out for lunch and it was eerily silent. I was trying to be nice and ask a few questions, but I was just getting one word answers. I asked my boyfriend about this and he had no idea what I was talking about. He even started to get a bit defensive. Oh, all right. Well, there you go. That's just how they are. We've been dating about 6 months and I dread seeing them because it feels like I'm being tortured and under threat of speaking. My boyfriend is completely oblivious to it and loves seeing his family, which is crazy weird because I would say he is reasonably outgoing and fun when we go out with a group of friends. Yeah, that is, that's really fucking weird. Should I stop seeing him or do you think, you missed a word, you think would be some good techniques for dealing with them? Please give me some advice. Hey, you're single. You're not married. So this is all about you. All right. You have to figure out, do I love this guy? You haven't even said you loved him. Am I into this person enough to put up with this? Like these people, you have a kid with this guy, these fucking non-talking motherfuckers are coming over to your house. All right. It seems like you're early on where you're like, should I stop seeing this guy or should maybe, it all depends on how much you like the guy. It's so weird that it's not weird that they're like that. And it's not weird that he's oblivious because, you know, your family just seems like your family, you grew up. But the fact that he loves seeing them, that's what's weird to me. Like if they're just like a not close, cold family that barely talks, like that usually would mean that, you know, I see him once every year, year and a half. I come around during the holidays and then that's it. But the fact that he goes there all the time to sit there and then not say anything to them, I don't know. It starts making me wonder if they're like fucking aliens or something. They're communicating through the center of their foreheads or some shit. Yeah, that's definitely strange. And the fact that you're so uncomfortable that now you're thinking maybe there's some good techniques that you're going to go in there and Dr. Phil and fix the whole fucking family in one segment, it's not going to happen. So I think you need to, you got to make a tough choice there. All right? either let this great guy go and try to find another great guy. You sound like you're still young, you're still drafting in the first couple of rounds, so there's plenty of good talent left out there. And maybe you could have more of a normal family, but that is, or you just learn to deal with their creepy horror show fucking vibe. But I don't know what good techniques you're going to use to fix that, especially when you brought it up to him. He had no idea what you were talking about and was like defensive about it. So there is that. Anyways, I'm going to try that fucking horror music chanting shit. I think I would actually like this better than... I have a meditation app, and it's just this guy just keeps talking throughout, being like, hello again, and welcome to another beautiful day with an opportunity to clear your mind, meditate. I'd like you to find a comfortable chair and just sit in it. Feel the chair up against your body. Are there places that it's touching you too much? Or does it feel just right? It's fucking that shit. And it's just like, oh my God, dude, just shut the fuck up. All right, just tell me to breathe and then just shut up. Please, for the love of God, shut up. So I think I would rather than listen to that guy, I'd rather listen to this shit.
Josh! Josh!
All right, I don't mean to end this so fucking in such a creepy goddamn way. Maybe I need to listen to this shit so I can go see Jordan Peele's new fucking movie and not be overly freaked out and traumatized by it. How great is it that guy's making movies? It's every once in a while, somebody fucking like that comes along. It's just awesome. It's awesome. If you love movies, it's fucking awesome. All right. That is the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'll check in on you on Thursday. Go Bruins. Go Celtics. If anybody knows if I can watch a replay of the MotoGP race, I would love to watch it. Send it to my Twitter account. Please let me know. I would love to see it. All right. That's it. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll see you on Thursday.